friends, and welcome to worship here from First United Methodist Church in Clinton, Mississippi. I'm Ricky James, a senior pastor, and whether you're joining us online or listening to us at Supertalk FM, I'm glad that you're with us today. Today in worship, we're going to look at a familiar psalm, perhaps the most beloved psalm in the entirety of the Scriptures, the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We're going to talk about what it means that God is with us always in the journeys of life, and so I'm glad you're here to share that with us. So welcome to worship.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, the portals he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home.
Now let us join together in reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hey friends, every week I get the chance to say thank you. And every week I really do mean it, because I tell you, all that we do here at our church, empowered by God's will and Holy Spirit, the resources that make it possible are your generous gifts. So thank you for how you give and what you give. Just want to encourage you to keep up the good work so that we can continue to bring the good news to you and to the community around us. Remember, you can give in a couple of different ways, safely and securely online at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. You can mail your check to 100 Mount Salis Road here in Clinton, or drop it off by the church the next time you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to see you anyway, so come on by. And remember, no matter how you give, your gift makes an eternal difference.
From the love of my own comfort, from the fear of having nothing, from a life of worldly passions, deliver me, O God, from the need to be from the need to be accepted, and from the fear of being lonely. Deliver me, O God. Deliver me, O God. And I shall not want, no, I shall not want. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. I shall not. From the fear of serving others, from the fear of death or trial, from the fear of humility, deliver me, O God. Shall not want. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want, no, I shall not want. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. I shall not want, no, I shall.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and it's time to spend a few moments with the kids. Today, Pastor Ricky will be talking to us about Psalm 23, which is one of the most famous psalms in the Bible. Lots of people have memorized the words. Psalm 23 was written by King David. But before David was a king, when he was young, he was a shepherd. So I want to talk to you a little bit about shepherds today. Shepherds took care of herds of sheep and protected the sheep day and night. And because the shepherd was always with the sheep,
The sheep knew the shepherd's voice, and they followed him everywhere he went. One of the shepherd's most important jobs was leading the sheep to food. Sheep eat, or graze, on grass and other plants that grow wild in the fields, pastures, and meadows. And during the day, the shepherd would lead the sheep to those green pastures and meadows to eat. And the shepherds also needed to make sure there were streams and ponds with clean water for the sheep to drink. And if a sheep wandered away from the flock, the shepherd had to go find it and bring it back. Shepherds carried a long stick with a hook on the end called a crook or a staff, like a shepherd's staff. In the Middle East, where the Bible stories took place, there were some rocky, hilly areas. And if a sheep fell down between the rocks and the shepherd couldn't reach it, the shepherd would use the crook to help rescue the sheep and lift it to safety. So shepherds also protected the sheep. And at night, he kept watch as the sheep slept in the fields to protect them from harm, like from wolves and thieves. So coming back to Psalm 23, it's often read for people who are experiencing hard things, but people like it because it's simple and comforting. And it starts with the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Just like David was a shepherd, he is telling us in this psalm that the Lord, too, is like our shepherd. And it reminds us that God provides for us, keeps us safe, and guides us like how a shepherd guides his sheep. God takes care of us and leads us to do the right things. And even when we face dark or scary times, or believe that enemies are close by, Psalm 23 reminds us that God is always with us, watching over us, and protecting us. And that's the good news for today. Let's pray together. Dear God, help us realize that we are all like sheep who have wandered away and that Jesus came to earth to rescue us and bring us back to you. Help us to remember that you are always with us, guiding us and protecting us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Would you join me now in praying to our Lord using the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
There's perhaps no more beautiful or popular or well-known passage of Scripture from the Old Testament than the 23rd Psalm. The psalm that I have heard at countless funerals. It's a psalm that I have prayed with at the bedside of people in moments of illness, before surgeries. It's a psalm that speaks to all of life's condition, both the good days and the bad, the ups and downs, quite literally the mountains and the valleys. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's also a psalm that speaks to life as a journey. It's quite literally a journey from the relative comfort and security through a dangerous valley, surrounded by enemies on all sides, and yet, finally, a journey that leads safely home. And because of that, I think this is a psalm that speaks to the human condition of grief. Because I believe, and have experienced in my own life, that grief is itself a journey. It's not a moment, it's not a list of things that you're going to have to accomplish or check off like a list, but rather it is a journey. Now, if you've ever taken a long journey, I imagine that you know that it is best to prepare ahead of time for the journey. You want to make sure that you have all the resources you need for the journey ahead. And you also would do well to remind yourself and to take note that even the best journeys will take their toll on you. If you're going to go on a long hike, it is a good idea to take some water, right? Because you know you're going to get thirsty. Before you set out on your hike, you want to make sure that you have a good pair of walking shoes or hiking boots because you know your feet are going to get tired, and it's important that they are protected and that you have taken the opportunity to prepare for this journey. You would do well to take a walking stick or some sort of bear spray with you in case you run into any wild animals and need to defend yourself. And it's very important to have a good sense of your destination. Where are you wanting to end up? Because if you don't know where you're going, you're a lot more likely to end up kind of getting lost. Preparing for a journey and understanding what will happen to you on the journey and preparing, for better or for worse, it makes the journey more successful. And dare I say, it makes it even a good journey. The same way with grief. When we set out on this journey through our response to pain and loss, we have to understand that there will be an impact on us. The journey of grief will leave its mark on us, on our body, our mind, and our spirit. You know, something that I try to get people to understand, you know, when God made us, when He created us, He made us as a whole being. And what I mean by that is that God created our heart, our soul, our mind, our body, and created us to be in a relatively healthy balance of all of that. God expects our entire being to be impacted by the world around us and by our relationships and by the things that affect us. Something that affects one part of our body affects all of our body. And because of that, when we deal with something like grief, we have to understand that there's going to be an impact on our entire body. Grief affects us emotionally, and that makes sense, right? I think that's probably the easiest thing to understand, that grief has an impact on our emotional reactions. We're going to feel all the emotions. We're, of course, going to feel sad and feel angry. We're going to feel upset, but we also are going to feel all the other emotions too. We might actually feel some happiness at some moments. A memory that's brought back to our mind makes us smile or laugh. We might feel joy that a person that we loved who was suffering is now freed from that suffering. We might even then begin to feel guilt because we think we should be sadder. But maybe we are relieved that someone we loved is freed. And so we feel guilty about that. Now, the good news is God made you with all those emotions. It was God's choice to give you all those emotions, and God understands that you're going to go through all of those emotions. On this journey of grief, you will be affected emotionally. And I want you to be okay with that and understand that that's happening to you. It doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong if you feel happy or sad. You are simply feeling your emotions, and they are impacting you on this journey. Another way the journey is going to impact you is socially. We are social beings. God created us to be in relationships with each other. God created us to desire to be friends, to desire to be in love. God made us not so that we would be by ourselves our entire life, but that we would do life together. And because of that, grief will impact our social relationships. Now, it's obvious how that happens sometimes. We quite literally might lose someone. But then also, we're impacted socially by grief in lots of other ways. Some of us, when we're going through pain, we want to be alone. We don't want anybody to call us or talk to us or try to hang out with us. We want to be by ourselves, away from everybody else. And that's okay. Some of us are the exact opposite. We want everybody around us. We want the house full of noise. We want the house full of food. We want people there around us. We don't want to be alone. We can't stand to be alone in our grief. And we want to be with as many people as we can. And that is okay too. But what I want you to hear from me is what I'm telling you is grief will affect your social relationships because other people may not understand what you need or what you desire. They may not want you to be alone, and so they bug you all the time, and you're going to feel bad telling them to leave. That's okay. And likewise, when somebody wants everyone around them and you think they need to spend some time by themselves, it's not your decision to make either. Grief is going to affect us socially. It's going to disrupt and disturb and maybe even fundamentally change some of our social relationships. And again, that's okay. It's just part of the journey and the effect the journey has on us. Another part is spiritually. Some people, when they're journeying through grief, will report that they feel closer to God because they've been praying. They've been struggling to make sense. They've been reading their Bible more. They've been going to church more in the midst of a grief situation. They've been talking to their pastor or talking to their Sunday school teacher, talking to their friends. And they, through this process, feel like they have grown closer to God. The grief has actually brought them closer spiritually. And of course, the exact opposite will happen as well for people. That in the midst of their journey of grief, they feel more distant. They feel like they've cried out to God and are hearing nothing in response. They don't feel like going to church anymore because they used to go with their loved one. And they don't want to be reminded. That's also completely normal. Not only spiritually, we can be affected mentally. Like I said last week, sometimes when we're struck with grief, we don't know exactly how to feel, or we feel numb. We feel like we're in a fog, we're in a daze, we can't think straight, we can't make decisions. Everything seems overwhelming. It's because the journey of grief will affect us mentally. And again, you're not going crazy. You're just going through grief. And it's a journey, like any long journey, that's going to affect you over time. Now, one last thing about how this journey is going to affect you, and you might can figure out what next is, because if something is affecting you emotionally and socially, spiritually and mentally, you better believe it's going to affect you physically. Remember what I told you, God made us as one whole person. Our mind, our spirit, our emotions, they do have a physical impact on us, and grief can cause us physically to react. We can be tired. We can feel like we need to sleep all day and wake up still exhausted. And opposite is also true. Some of us are restless, can't sleep, can't be still, have to keep moving, like there's some sort of energy within us that we can't seem to exercise out. People going through grief can often report physical symptoms like headaches and aches and pains and all sorts of physical reactions to the grief that's real. It's not in your mind. It's not imagined. It's your body being impacted by the grief. Now, just like every long journey, you're going to be impacted in your entire being. And what I want you to understand is that's normal. It's not anything to be worried about other than to know the way to get through grief is to take this journey. To feel and to understand and to know what's happening to you. Now, one of the things that might happen as you go on this journey of grief, as you feel all the spiritual and emotional and mental and physical impacts of it, you might begin to think that you're kind of losing control. Particularly if you're like me, I'm used to always being in control. And sometimes when I'm dealing with the pain of a loss, with a grief, I feel like I'm not myself. I feel quite literally out of control. And if that's the case, I want to tell you four quick things you can do right now to regain a sense of that control that you feel like you've lost. As you're setting out on this journey and you begin to feel, I want you to do this. Number one, name what you're feeling. Just say it out loud. I feel mad. I feel angry. I feel tired. I feel guilty. I feel regret. I feel frustrated. Or I feel relieved. Whatever you're feeling, it's your feeling, it's your emotion, it is true and genuine to you. You don't have to explain it to anybody else, but give it a name. Speak it out loud. Secondly, after you've named it, go ahead and feel it. If you feel like crying, cry. If you feel like laughing, laugh. If you feel like taking a long walk, go take a long walk. If you feel like sitting and doing nothing, man, do it. Don't try to push away your feelings. Don't try to explain it away. And certainly don't try to behave differently for other people. Feel what you are feeling. You name your feeling. You feel your feeling. And the third thing I want you to do right now is just go ahead and admit this journey of grief is going to take longer than you want. As I said last week, there is a big pressure to be done with grief. But like any long journey, it's done when it's done, and not a moment before. But as you set off on this journey, I want you to remember one final, it's the fourth thing. Name your feeling, feel your feeling, admit it's going to take a long time. And number four, I want you to know there's someone on the journey with you. Which leads me back to the 23rd Psalm that we started with. I know it's familiar to you, but I want to read it one more time so that you understand a deep truth here in this scripture. This scripture which is the verse of God's word to us for those on a journey through grief. It begins with that familiar word, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," which means, right, that God is not only our guide on this journey, He is our provider. He's going to provide what we need when we need it, even when we don't realize what we truly need. We're told, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." This first little section reminds us that God will lead us and be with us during days of plenty and days of safety and days of peace. That's good. We're going to have good days ahead. That is wonderful news. Then he continues, "But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The psalm reminds us that yes, we will walk through days of darkness. We will walk through the low places in our life. There will be days of discomfort and loss and of pain. But even in those moments, we're not alone. He continues by telling us, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." You know, in this one sentence, we're told two very different things. First, that even when we feel surrounded on all sides by our enemies, whether those are real people or enemies of pain and loss, we are told God will bless us. Cover us with His presence and anointing. Fill our cup to overflowing, even when we are surrounded. And then finally we're told, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In many ways, the psalm ends where it begins, with God, in peace, at our home, our destination. That's why I love this psalm, and it's why I think so many people in times of grief have turned to the 23rd Psalm, not only because of its beauty and its history, but because of its promise for our future. One last thing. Hebrew poetry, which the psalm is written in, is wonderful because when you read the poetry of the Hebrew people, you find that they love to put little hidden gems in the beautiful poems. And Psalm 23 is just like that. In Hebrew, there are 54 words, which means this psalm, this poem, can be evenly divided. It can be kind of constructed line by line, beginning to end, as kind of a mirror of each other. Remember when I told you it begins with God in safety, it ends with God in safety, which means this poem kind of folds in on itself, which means it has an exact center. And in Hebrew, the center of a verse is often lifted up as the most important teaching in that entire section. And so because we can divide this poem evenly, we can look to see what the center verse is. And it's right there with 26 words in front of it and 26 words behind it. We come to the Hebrew phrase, Ata Amad. Thou art with me. The central promise of the 23rd Psalm is really the central promise of the Christian faith. God is with us. In our journey of grief, like our journey of life, we will go through days of peace and safety, and we will go through days of dark valleys. But the good news is, we never have to be alone. As we walk through the hills and valleys of this life, we never walk alone. For the good news is, Ata Amad, thou art with me. God walks with us. Amen. The friends, as you go forth, I don't know what this week is going to bring for you. Maybe ups, downs, pleasant valleys, dark shadows. But you know what? Whatever comes, remember this good news. God is with us. Amen.